Welcome to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. Each week, you'll learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness and explore the deeper knowledge within. Welcome home. Now here's your host, Dr. Kelly Neff.
Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio on Transformation Talk Radio and WBLQ 1230 AM, Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York. Stay with us for the next hour, and let us help you experience healing, inspiration, and creativity. Every week on Lucid Planet Radio, we will have some of the most gifted scientists, healers, speakers, and authors helping you to become the greatest version of yourself and live your dreams. You could find out more at thelucidplanet.com and stream all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com, iTunes, and SoundCloud by searching for Lucid Planet Radio. You can also connect with me, Dr. Kelly, on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. Also here at Lucid Planet Radio, we are very pleased to announce that we have recently been picked up by CRN Digital Talk Radio, bringing us to over 11 million homes in the U.S. and over 100 countries, including 25 stations just in Australia. This is a really great time to jump in and to become an advertiser or sponsor of our show. You can just go to the website, thelucidplanet.com, or email me directly at drkellyneff@gmail.com. That's drkellyneff@gmail.com to find out more. Stay tuned. Now, here on Lucid Planet Radio, wow, we have really started out 2016 with a bang. And we have been delving into some of the most relevant and intriguing topics in the study of consciousness, the soul, the spirit, and our place in the universe. And so far this year, we've had some amazing guests here to talk about spirit, consciousness, psychedelics, art, and culture. And today, I'm absolutely thrilled to continue that trend by welcoming a true pioneer, really a legend in the field of psychedelic research and psychiatry, Dr. Rick Strassman, who is the author of DMT, The Spirit Molecule, and many other works in the field. In case you wanted a little bit of background on Dr. Strassman, between 1990 and 1995, he performed the first new United States clinical research with psychedelic drugs in a whole generation, focusing primarily on DMT as well as psilocybin, and he received both federal and private funding to make this happen. He has authored or co-authored approximately 40 peer-reviewed scientific papers, and he has served as a consultant to various government, nonprofit, and for-profit entities. His book, DMT, The Spirit Molecule, which was published in 2001, has sold 150,000 copies and been translated into 12 languages. Wow. And is the basis of a successful documentary that he co-produced, which, of course, we had one of the directors, I believe, Mitch Schultz, on the show a couple months ago. Dr. Strassman is also the co-author of Inner Paths to Outer Space in 2007 and author of DMT and the Soul of Prophecy, which is his most recent book. And he is currently a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine and lives in Gallup, New Mexico. So let's please welcome Dr. Strassman to the show. Hi.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me on your show today.
It's wonderful to have you on the show, Dr. Strassman. I am very excited and a little humbled, and I can't wait to speak with you about all of these topics are so fascinating. Consciousness, the soul, psychedelics, and I think it's really wonderful that we live in a time where this has become such a huge topic across, you know, not just like within kind of new agey or hippie culture movements, but actually in science too. And so this is very exciting to me.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. I agree with your appraisal. In a way, it's kind of like a return to the medieval, philosophical milieu, which at one time really saw no difference between science and religion, that the two could be reconciled without any difficulty, and they they could both help place each other in a context that really didn't experience much, dissonance at all.
Do you think that that's kind of, I mean, we know we're slowly seeing this kind of integration between spirituality and science. You know, we've got quantum physics and all of these kind of findings that seem to reinforce almost like a soul outside of the body or a consciousness that exists outside of the body. Do you think that we're approaching kind of a transcendence point where we have science and spirituality kind of in a cohesive expression?
I think so. With respect to the strengths of the scientific method, it's able to apply a particular technique in order to generate objective data, and I don't think it's inaccurate to suggest that religion takes over at the borders of science. But those borders of science are extending ever deeper and ever further into things which the religious traditions have traditionally occupied themselves with, things like the invisible realms, ethical and moral questions, theology, the nature of the universe, the proper way to live, those kinds of things. So a few of those, or some of those, are now being explored using the tools of science, such as the nature of the usually invisible realms, and the production of religious experience experimentally or clinically, and questions regarding the nature of the soul, what's the difference between life and death, what happens to the mind or the soul after death. So I think as long as the conversation keeps flowing in two directions, we'll be approaching as much of a reconciliation between the two worldviews as possible.
Yeah, I thank you for that, because I agree, and I don't think that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. I think that science just gets really pushed to the limit when we're talking about kind of, you mentioned invisible realms. You know, when we're talking about a user's DMT experience where they are interacting with beings in another dimension, we have self-report. Right. But at what point it seems like science can only go so far.
Right. I think, what kind of occurs after you've reached the limit of objective data is you begin to speculate, and speculation partakes of the imagination, and the imagination in the religious mind is quite highly developed. It can approximate objective data. I think you can start to approximate objective data using subjective imagination, and then through the tools of science, you could start comparing the information obtained through the imagination with what can be obtained through experimental research.
I love that. I mean, I was really into qualitative data analysis when I was in graduate school. And after a while, when you reach a certain level of consensus, and I'm sure I'd love to hear you speak to this, in terms of the research that you've done, many of our listeners are familiar with DMT, the spirit molecule. They might not know what's come after, but the idea that you can take so many reports from people, and after a while you analyze them, and that synthesis across all of these experiences, it really does count for something significant.
Right. Well, if you look at the case of dreams, nobody's really been able to objectively photograph dreams and prove that they are objectively real. But everybody dreams, and it's consensusly agreed that we dream, and this is the nature of dreams. I think you could use dreams as an analogy in this case.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. You know, there's so many, there really, there's so much of our existence that we take as face value that it exists. But then if we were to apply the kind of empirical requirements to it, it might not necessarily stand up as being able to be provable by science right now. But maybe that's not as important as trying to understand and kind of like delve down to these deeper issues and deeper levels of consciousness. And I think, I guess my question for you is, what is your goal kind of with where your research is right now? What are you kind of hoping to put out there for people? We have a break in like 2 minutes. So just like a summary kind of like where Dr. Strassman's going.
Well, I think that as important as the existence of these states, these highly altered states is, I think the important thing is what they're trying to teach, what this, you know, what is the information contained in those states that otherwise isn't accessible. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I've been focusing on for the last few years and what I hope to keep on getting out there.
That's awesome. And I mean, for those of us out there who aren't familiar, how many participants would you say over the course of, say, the last 20 years have you had in your studies on psychedelics and DMT?
Oh, well, you know, it's been a long time since I've done hands-on research. Actually, I wrapped up my studies in New Mexico in 1995. Mm-hmm. When I did run the studies, we started in 1990 and ran about, you know, 6 people through around, you know, 400 doses of the drug at, you know, varying strengths.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk much more about a little bit more about the research protocol when we come back from the break. So I am Dr. Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Rick Strassman talking about DMT, the soul, consciousness, and so much more. So stick with us, and we will see you in a couple minutes.
Abundance Takes Flight continues for the month of May. If you missed the extraordinary event in person, you will not want to miss this video. Make a donation to ShareWheel via AbundanceTakesFlight.org, that's AbundanceTakesFlight.org, and receive your life-changing video from Lynn M. Brown, 8 Things Directly from the Mouth of Money. You can also view the list of vendors who are gifting 50% off their proceeds to ShareWheel when you mention this ad for the month of May.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and my guest today is Dr. Rick Strassman, who is talking with us about DMT, God, consciousness, and more. But before we continue, I just want to make sure that everybody knows how to contact you, Dr. Strassman, to find out more about your research and appearances. Could you give them your info?
Sure. Well, the easiest way to reach me is through my website, rickstrassman.com. You can order books on my site, and I will inscribe and autograph them. And I've got links to my videos, my lectures, interviews, and there's a contact link too. So I, you know, generally answer every first email I get. So feel free to write with any questions or comments or ideas. You know, lots of students contact me with, you know, they're well, either, you know, they're interested in doing this kind of research and are interested in advice about what kind of academic trajectory to follow. Yeah. Or they're at the point of being able to do research and want to bat ideas around regarding specific experimental, you know, questions and protocols.
Are you seeing an influx of students coming in wanting to do, you know, like psychedelic research or psychedelic psychiatry?
Yeah, you know, I'd say once a week I get a query from a high school student or a college student who either read the DMT book or watched the DMT documentary. And, you know, they're inspired to continue their studies and you know, pursue psychedelic research.
Awesome.
I would say it's been holding pretty steady for the last, you know, 5 years or so. Those kinds of queries were you know, rather rare early on. You know, they increased and they seem to be holding pretty steady.
Well, many people in the field really credit you and what you were able to do by getting that kind of like first approval for many years to study psychedelics in the United States. And many people really credit you with kind of helping to start this new, we're kind of in this like new psychedelic renaissance revolution that's happening maybe in the last, say, 20 years. And it seems to just be exploding. More and more studies are getting approved, and the climate seems to be changing. You know, organizations like MAPS are doing a lot of work across all different types of psychedelic medicine. So I guess my question for you, so thank you, first of all. And then, but my question for you
is,
my question is, what was it like to get that first approval from the federal government?
Well, I mean, obviously it was great, and I could hardly, you know, believe that things had actually gotten that far. But, you know, maybe I could give a little background about how I got interested in the field.
Yes, that'd be great.
And the long and winding, you know, road to, you know, finally getting approval to do the DMT work.
Sure.
Well, so I went to college on the West Coast in the late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, there were two new technologies for altering consciousness that were entering, you know, the Western mind at the time, especially, especially through the West Coast. And those two technologies were Eastern religious meditation practices and also the, you know, psychedelic drugs. And it really struck me how, you know, similar descriptions were of the states that were brought on by those two technologies. There were visions and there were voices. There would be extreme emotional responses. There would be new ways of thinking and you know, some novel insights, out of body experiences. Increased relatedness with people, the white light, those kinds of things. And at a certain point, I thought that there must be some underlying common biological denominator that was underlying, both syndromes, as it were. Put simplistically, it, you know, seemed as if one part of the brain must be stimulated similarly either through the ingestion of psychedelic, you know, drugs or through the practice of particular meditation techniques. To the extent that they resembled each other. And I first began looking at the pineal gland as kind of a spiritual organ, that maybe meditation stimulated the pineal gland and thus, possibly the, psychedelic, drugs also might stimulate the pineal gland. So I went to, college, went to medical school, and then I trained in psychiatry. And after that, I, took a year of extra psychopharmacology, research, training in a fellowship. It seemed as if it would be worth looking at the pineal gland in humans, especially, looking at the, psychological responses to melatonin, which is the primary pineal hormone. This was in the early 1980s, and there wasn't much, known about melatonin in humans at the time. So, the pineal gland, had always been revered as like a spiritual gland in the esoteric, physiologies in both the West and the East. So I, I'm at reports of, melatonin psychological responses. And there were, some suggestive data, pointing towards some psychedelic effects. We gave melatonin, we took it away, we looked at a number of biological and psychological variables. But there wasn't, much in terms of, psychedelic responses to melatonin, even when we gave, rather high doses. So we established in a couple other groups at around the same time established that, pharmacological doses of melatonin were sedating. So I kind of, gave up on, melatonin having psychedelic effects or being some kind of a spiritual compound. And in the meantime, I learned about DMT, which is also made in the body, especially the lungs. It's quite psychedelic, and it had been given safely, to humans in previous clinical research in the 50s and the 60s. So I was interested in DMT because it was a psychedelic compound. It was made in the body. And there were descriptions of its, psychological effects, which, mirrored, some of the non-drug, psychedelic experiences that people have out there, like the near-death state, mystical experiences, religious effects. I could also place, this in context with respect to the MDMA story. I had moved to New Mexico in 1984, and there were a number of, therapists that were doing MDMA, psychotherapy studies in New Mexico. So I learned about, what was going on, and when the DEA scheduled MDMA into the most restrictive category, I was part of a MAPS-inspired and spearheaded project, to get the DEA to reschedule it from 1 to 3. Yeah. In the meantime, I was applying for an IND, the same kind of permits I got for DMT. I was applying, for MDMA a number of years before the DMT project even, formed in my mind. But the FDA was incredibly, closed to the idea of giving MDMA to humans because of the emerging data in lower animals that the drug was neurotoxic. So I, tried and tried for a couple of years to get an MDMA study off the ground, but it was just, too frustrating. And in the meantime, I had, performed the melatonin study, had applied, for permits to give DMT. And at a certain point, the FDA, I think it was even after I left New Mexico in the late 1990s, you know, that I received a letter from the FDA asking me if I wanted to withdraw my MDMA application. So, you know, that's, you know, kind
Thanks,
of,
guys.
You know, to put the DMT, MDMA, you know, resurgence of, you know, psychedelic, you know, research, and I'm into some context.
Oh my goodness, that's quite the journey. And so, when did they approve the DMT study? And oh, we only have like a minute left, just FYI.
Sure. Well, let's see. I submitted all of my paperwork in 1988, and then I finally got approval in November of 1990.
And do you think that was because, like you said, of the previous studies that they did in the 50s and 60s with DMT, or they, for some reason, I know MDMA just had this like massive blockage, but DMT, maybe they thought, you know, it was safer or it was less threatening, or why do you think that they approved it more rapidly?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and I could start answering that question, you know, before the break, and I'd like to continue it afterwards.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Why don't we do this?
Yeah,
let's talk about it after the break, and that way we'll have more time to expand upon it. So I'm Dr. Kelly, and you are listening to Lucid Planet Radio, and when we come back, Dr. Rick Strassman will explain to us more about DMT, consciousness, and the soul. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Do you want to achieve your goals? Do you want to strengthen relationships with others? Do you want to improve your financial status? Colette Marie Steffen is partnering with Mark Kettenbach to bring you an energetic upgrade online experience launching in April. Unfold and develop your full potential. Visit energeticupgrade.com today for more information. That's energeticupgrade.com. Get ready to rid yourself of all that is weighing you down and holding you back from living the life you want for yourself. Coming Clean, The Art of Transparency with Catherine Moss is a hit show for women in recovery who are ready to live life on purpose. Tune in and let Catherine help you live your truth one day at a time. Live each Tuesday, 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Hi, this is Leslie Fontaine. When we try to control the manifestation of our desires, we unfortunately limit the possibilities. We reduce them down to the 3D linear level that we have seen and recognized from our past and from around us. Source is limitless. The potentiality is without bounds. Because you don't know how circumstances can unfold doesn't mean that they're going to turn out badly. Try taking your foot off the brake and allow Source to show you the amazing display of unlimited potentiality. If this is a pattern, you may want some help with releasing it. If you're ready to shift into your best life, visit LeslieFontaine.com and let's talk about unfolding all that you want to be, do, and have. You'll find sessions, classes, and audio products to help remove the blocks and move you into that potential. And listen to my show, Sheer Alchemy, on Transformation Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 10 Pacific, 1 Eastern.
We are back on Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly, and throughout all of these commercial breaks, you have been hearing music from Lucidity Festival artists, including Hollis, Grime Time, Oneness, and Groove Session. You can check them out April 8th to the 10th in Santa Barbara at Lucidity Festival. There's still time to get tickets. Go to lucidityfestival.com and use code LucidPlanet to save $15 off your tickets. You're welcome. Anyway, I am here with Dr. Rick Strassman, and we are talking about DMT, consciousness, God, the soul, and more. Before we went into the break, I asked you, Dr. Strassman, about why you think it was that the DMT study got approved by the feds, but they kind of rejected all of the MDMA studies. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's for a number of reasons. One of them is the drug. DMT had been given safely before in human studies. And there wasn't any evidence of neurotoxicity, major prolonged adverse effects. And it had been studied in animals quite a bit and also had not, demonstrated any major toxic effects. And so that made it possible to be able, to propose a human study without going through a lot of animal, pre-testing, which is the case with a new drug. And I think it also had to do with the study itself. It was purely a, psychopharmacology study. It was a descriptive, mechanistic study. I was going to use, normal volunteers, rather than patients. And we were just going to characterize the effects of the drug rather than, do therapy or produce a mystical experience. Yeah. I think also the study was approved, because of my track record as a clinical, research scientist. My training was good. I had finished up, the melatonin study. I'd gotten some grants. I'd published some papers, so they knew I, could do, human research. So I think it was a, combination of those, three factors. It was the drug, it was the protocol itself, and it was my qualifications.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It sounds kind of like just a perfect coming together of all of these elements at the right time. And it's really, the work's inspired millions of people. It's amazing how much of an impact it's had both on the scientific community and in the psychiatric community, but also just on like kind of the world at large.
Yeah. I think my study or, the kind of career that I, carved out would be a good, lesson in, setting your goals high and putting them in a long view kind of a sight. Because I began to think about doing human psychedelic, drug research when I was 20 in, 1972. So I went to medical school with the long range plan of doing this kind of research. I went through my psychiatric training with the long range view of doing this kind of research. And then, got extra, research, training, in order to, get myself qualified, to do my studies. And even the melatonin work in a lot of ways was, groundwork. And, that took another 3 years, so I started with, this idea in 72 and gave our first, dose of DMT in late 1990. So. I think it bespeaks, the benefit of, persistence, keeping your cards close to your chest and, going to school for as long as you possibly can.
I love that. You hear that, everyone? You can do it, but you really, really have to commit. If you want to make a huge impact and really like manifest your dreams, you have to do the work and it's worth it. What else are we going to do with our time, right? I mean, Just my opinion. I guess I want to ask you, Dr. Strassman, how your theory has evolved since DMT, the spirit molecule, and now DMT and the soul and the prophecy. How has your understanding of DMT changed as you continue to kind of reflect and continue to hypothesize?
Well, I began my DMT study, bringing in a number of, models to explain what was happening. And ultimately, I didn't really find that any of them were all that great. So I then kind of branched out into what I've been doing for the last 20 years or so. But with respect to the models I had, brought to bear on my research, all three of those, ultimately, posited the unreality of the experiences that people were having on DMT. One of the most striking elements of the DMT experience, I guess there's a number of striking aspects to the DMT experience. One of them is, the nature of the world that people seem to enter into. It's made of light. The light that the world is composed of is, brighter, more, saturated, more intensely colored than anything anybody's ever seen before. It, seems to be a realm which is inhabited by some kind of, sentience, some kinds some kind of intelligence. Sometimes the intelligence or, the sentience appears as a being with whom the person interacts with, for the duration of the state. The other thing which is so striking about the DMT experience is the, feeling of reality. It feels as real or more real than everyday reality. It was the combination of those two properties which I tried to place or understand within the three models that I had begun, my research with. So those three models were the psychopharmacological model. In other words, the experience of the DMT world was your brain on drugs, basically. That there were, parts of the brain that were being activated or turned off through the, chemistry of DMT, and everything was just, being, generated in the brain, as opposed to the brain's receiving characteristics, changing in order to be able, to now perceive, something outside of us, which was real, but usually invisible. The other model was the, psychological, model. And in particular, based on my own experience and training, the psychoanalytic or the Freudian model, posited, that the things that one encounters in the DMT state are just, visual or emotional or auditory, representations, symbolic.
Yeah,
of archetypes. Inner conflicts, inner drives, archetypes. Yeah. As opposed to, again, being an externally real slice of reality, which normally we don't see. So the third model that I had, brought to bear was what I, considered a spiritual model, which was, that relating to Zen Buddhism. And also I had a lot of training, study, practice, teaching, within that model. And I was expecting the volunteers, to have the Buddhist enlightenment type of experience of emptiness, the white light, no sense of self, ecstasy, the merging with the ground of being. And everything else, the Zen model would consider to be, as it were, mental detritus being, shed on the way, towards, the goal of the enlightened, unified state. So kind of, there were two strikes going against the Zen model even. One was their, positing, that the visions and the voices of the DMT experience were basically unreal. And also, the goal or the highest, possible outcome of the experience was quite, different, than what occurred in the DMT volunteers.
And so,
in the DMT state, it's extremely interactive, it's extremely relational, and that was as far as people got. It was the ultimate DMT experience, as opposed let's say to the Buddhist notion of the white light, the formless, empty state without any sense of self.
Yeah, and wow. And now from your newest book, DMT, The Soul and the Prophecy, or The Soul of Prophecy, excuse me, it looks like, and I'm totally fascinated by this idea, you have this kind of model that we can draw these conclusions between DMT experiences and the prophetic visions described in the Old Testament. And we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm hoping that we can touch upon kind of the new direction here and the understanding that you've come to. So stay with us on Lucid Planet Radio. We'll be right back while wrapping up the show with Dr. Rick Strassman.
The doctor is in. Tune in to the hit show, The Psychic Love Doctor, with host Deborah Lee. Deborah's life-affirming, highly perceptive reading method has taught Deborah how to zero in on specific problems with relationships, career pursuits, and current roadblocks to success and happiness. Join Deborah Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific, and for a special broadcast the second Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Pat. The ancient Inca root vegetable maca is world-renowned for its wide array of health benefits. As a family-run company of true maca specialists, the maca team's mission is to provide you with fresh, organic, premium-quality maca powders at a fair price. Amazing. All of the products are always organically grown, fair-traded, GMO-free, fresh, and potent. So don't take my word for it. Experience the life-changing benefits of maca today. Visit themacateam.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome back to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly. I am here with Dr. Rick Strassman talking about theories and models of the DMT experience, God, and the soul and consciousness. Wow, this has been an awesome show. And when we left off, I had mentioned that Dr. Strassman's kind of the understanding that he's working with right now is quite a controversial one. And it's the idea that kind of we can use DMT and other Western psychedelic drug experiences to understand prophecies in the Old Testament, and that maybe there can be a kind of top-down approach where maybe we are downloading messages from the divine or connecting to the divine when we are on DMT. Did I get that right, Dr. Strassman?
Yeah, you know, close. I'd say about 85%.
I'll take it. Woo!
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty mind-bending and also, you know, difficult to get your head around kind of model, you know, because it, taps into a spiritual text and a spiritual, you know, tradition that most people don't identify with, you know, the psychedelic experience, the drug state, you know, the psychedelic subculture, you know, the New Age, you know, neo-paganism, sure. Eastern religious ways of looking at, you know, the you know, psychedelic experience. But I you know kind of studied all those models to understand and integrate the effects of DMT, and I was fully satisfied with any of them. I'm either because they went against the grain of the experience, you know, in the case of Zen practice or Zen study, or else they, you know, denied one of the most essential features of the DMT experience, which is its, you know, sense of reality. You know, so that included all three of the models: the Zen model, the psychoanalytic, and the biological, you know, psychiatry model. You know, so I kind of looked into, you know, some of the new physics, you know, ways of understanding usually invisible realities, and kind of examine theories of dark matter and parallel universes. And I think, you know, those were helpful, you know, mechanistically, but they didn't really help with, you know, some of the, you know, larger questions like why are things, you know, designed in this way? For example, you know, why does, you know, DMT, if it does, you know, provide us, you know, to access parallel universes or dark matter, you know, why things are configured that way? You know, so the existential kinds of questions, you know, the philosophical kinds of questions weren't answered or, you know, weren't even, raised within a scientific model. And also the, scientific models weren't, designed to probe what the meaning or the, you know, value of the information contained in those states might be. You know, so for both of, you know, those reasons, I started to think that I would use, you know, the religious model as, you know, kind of, you know, my default, and then started to study Judaism again. I was raised Jewish, you know, had a smattering of knowledge of Hebrew by the time I was bar mitzvahed, you know, but had kind of, you know, dropped it. I, you know, gone off to Zen for 20 years and was, you know, studying psychiatry and pharmacology. You know, so I, you know, began to read the Hebrew Bible, and the notion of a prophetic state began to dawn on me, because it, you know, seemed as if, you know, the prophets, Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, experienced, you know, visions and voices, and they interacted with usually, you know, non-visible entities and beings, you know, God or God's angels. You know, so it, you know, began to, you know, look like a DMT experience. In, you know, some ways anyway. I mean, obviously the kind of information which is transmitted in the Hebrew Bible is profound. It's, you know, lasted 3,000 years, continues to exert an influence on all aspects of, you know, civilization, our art, our theology, philosophy, economics, law and aesthetics, poetry, you know, wisdom, all those things. As compared, to the information which is coming out of, you know, the psychedelic experience, which is valuable, but isn't, I think, anywhere, you know, nearly as, you know, highly articulated and influential and, you know, perennial as the information contained in the Bible. So I started, comparing.
No, you go. You continue. You're fine.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask.
Well, I mean, I could just, go on a rant, and it would be, I think it would be more, valuable, if you ask your question.
One of the basic questions that comes to mind is, are you saying that you think that the prophets were using psychedelics, or is it more that the model in the Old Testament is something that we can use to understand psychedelic use today?
Yeah, well, I think there isn't a need to look for external, sources of DMT when looking at the experiences of the prophets in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
One of the strengths of this, theory is the fact that DMT is produced in the human body. Is made in the lungs and sometimes in the pineal, most likely, because it was been recently demonstrated to be in the pineal of rodents. But even if the human pineal isn't making DMT, the lungs do, and you can just postulate, that there's a increase in naturally occurring DMT in the human body, which is mediating, some of the phenomenology of prophecy.
Do you think that, so what it sounds like is that DMT can connect us to the divine, potentially, or at least open up our minds to receive information from the divine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Right. I think that, I would agree with that. Oh, and one thing too is that it's important to use to clarify, my definition of, prophecy. It's usually considered to be foretelling or predicting. But if you kind of expand the idea to include any spiritual experience, which is written in the Hebrew Bible, it could be any spiritual state or any of us. Spiritual states, characteristics, such as inspiration, visions and voices, out of body experience, extreme emotions, interacting with beings, asking questions, getting answers, those kinds of things. So it is a much more expansive, definition than purely predicting or foretelling the future, which can occur in the prophetic experience, but not always.
Man, I just want to say, we are so close to being out of time, and I still feel like I have so many more questions for you, Dr. Straussman. Will you come and do another show with us in a couple months? Will you come back on?
Can we? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be
awesome.
I'd be happy to. Yes.
Cool. There's still so much I want to talk about. But we have like about a minute left. What are your closing thoughts? Let's do that.
My closing thoughts. Well, I think one should keep an open mind thinking about the psychedelic experience.
I think that's an awesome piece of advice. We don't know. And the more anyone kind of experiments with psychedelics, we kind of understand that there's a lot that we don't know. And science doesn't have necessarily all the answers, and maybe neither does religion, but there's a possible synergy here. And, whether psychedelic experiences can connect us to the divine or if it's just DMT, it's hard to say, right?
That's right. I think we're just beginning to, probe around in objective manner and try to understand what the psychedelic state, especially that brought on by DMT, consists of and what it's trying to tell us.
Yes. In other words, there is so much more to come in this area. And I am pretty optimistic that the future is going to bring us a lot more psychedelic research, psychedelic psychiatry, as this field continues to expand and grow. So thanks in large part to MAPS and people like Dr. Straussman. So Dr. Straussman, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed our chat, brief as it was.
Me too. Yeah, I know. I'm seriously, I would love to have you back on to continue this discussion. I had a wonderful time. And listeners out there, please continue to join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Mountain, and 2 p.m. Pacific on WBLQ 1230 a.m. and Transformation Talk Radio. You can find out more about us at thelucidplanet.com and find me on Facebook and Twitter at The Lucid Planet with Dr. Kelly. You can listen to all of our podcasts for free on lucidplanetradio.com as well as iTunes and SoundCloud. Just type in Lucid Planet Radio. And I will see you this weekend at Lucidity Festival, you guys, up in Santa Barbara. I will be back on the West Coast and there's still time to get tickets. Go to lucidityfestival.com and use the code LucidPlanet for a discount. Much love. And I will see you next week. Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to the hit show, Lucid Planet Radio, with renowned psychologist and author, Dr. Kelly Neff. Tune in each week as we illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. This hit show will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake up to the greatest version of yourself. Learn how to navigate the global shift of consciousness as you explore the deeper knowledge, passion, and purpose within. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for upcoming show topics and to contact Dr. Kelly.